We're going to begin. I think we started last week discussing the issue of kuti. I want to pick up with that. Just run through these gemaras very quickly, the kuti gemaras, and then talk about. Again, it could be a very massive topic. I do want to move a little more quickly, so we'll try to make it a little shorter. But the questions that are raised in this topic are really very pivotal. Issues about Geiros and Kedushas Yisrael, as we started in last week. So let me just go through the Gemaras again, the beginning Gemaras and then the end Gemaras, which we didn't get to, and then talk about some of the basic approaches. So the Gemara here, again, the context is all this effort to interpret the Mishnah, which says, Hakol Shochtinu Kshitasan Kshera. And the Gemara is going back and forth to try to figure out what that might mean. One of the suggestions was that this is a reference to a kuti. Kuti were the Shomronim, I guess we sometimes call them. And, you know, in the Psukim in Malachim Beis, so they have the whole story about how they were, you know, resettled in Eretz Yisrael. And at a certain point, they were absorbed by Klal Yisrael, and the question was, what was the status of their geiros? Right? Were they authentic Jews? Was their conversion serious and sincere? Or since it was definitely also motivated by external and ulterior motives, so that kind of tarnished their geirus, you know, and they weren't geirim at all. The pashtus is that the simple reading is that there are two mutually exclusive views about the original or the initial status of the kutim. They were geirim, geirei emes. They weren't geirim, geirei arayos with an aleph, meaning lions that were sent to to scare them and to consume them or devour them, etc. So anyways, the Gemara makes allusion to this, because the Gemara here on Gimel Amud Aleph suggests that might be what the Mishnah is talking about. And when it says Hakol Shochtin, that means even a Shochet was a Kuti. And the point is that if you... there are certain conditions and that would apply. And there are other conditions in which would only be a Bidiyah. And that's the question. Gadol Omid El Gabav. What about what we call, we'll see, get to it in a second, you know, Chotech Kezias Basar V'Ochlo. We'll see in a second. The Kutiyim, in addition to the, there are basically three, you know, there are more maybe, but three basic phases in the Kuti story. Okay, the first one is the question of their Geirus at the time. That already is very controversial. And we'll talk a little more about that in a minute. Then, the second phase is the status of the Kutiyim when they were accepted as Jews in the Jewish community. And the question was, you know, can you trust them? And, you know, to what extent are they conducting themselves as committed Jews, you know, or not? It's a little like the Erev Rav story, you know, in Mitzrayim. But... So that's the second phase, which we'll get to in a second. Our discussion in the Mishnah and the Gemara on Dalet Amud Aleph is mostly about the second phase. Namely, they're treated as geirim, but we know, for example, as we'll see in a minute, that they're not committed to Torah Shebaal Peh, and one of the things that they're not committed to as well is the Fnei Berlosite Mechshal. So we can't rely on the Kutiyim to to protect the spiritual well-being of the rest of Klal Yisrael. And since that's a critical aspect of Nemanus when it comes to Kashrus, you have to be able to rely on the fact that the person that you're asking cares, that he's shares your concern, for the answer. If he considers the matter to be irrelevant, then that's a reason perhaps not to trust him. So that's the second phase, and as we'll see in a moment, then came the third phase, and that is at a certain point, the misconduct of the Kutiyim, became more obvious, We'll see exactly what we mean by that. And it sounds like they were written out of Klal Yisrael at that point. And that also, that's just a very remarkable phenomenon. It's remarkable they were let in, frankly, given all of the difficulties. And once they were let in, it's even more remarkable, in my opinion. The question is, what does it mean that they were, pretty much expelled, from Klal Yisrael? Okay, so what I want to do is I want to analyze these three phases. The first phase is, and they may be related, that's one of the things I want to talk about, especially the first and the third. But the first phase is the question of the sincerity of their geirus initially. This is a massive topic, which we're just going to, talk about very quickly. But this comes up on Gimel Amud Beis. When Gimel Amud Beis, when the Gemara is trying to figure out why do you have six different or five different explanations of the Mishnah, so the Gemara wants to know why each one of the Amoraim, made a different suggestion how to read the Mishnah. Why can't they agree on a solution? What's the weak, what's the vulnerable point of each of the perspectives? So when it comes to the Kuti story, the Gemara says, this is towards the bottom of Gimel Beis, we read it last time, I just want to review it very quickly. The Gemara says, Ravashi, this is three lines into the wide lines. Ravashi lo amar kitravayu. Ravashi said, did not agree with the position of either Abaya or Rava. Abaya and Rava debate whether or not a Kuti will be trusted for Shkita only if Acherim roim also. Right? That is the view of Abaya. Or even if Acherim are Yotzim v'nichnasim. That's something we discussed last week. What level of hashgacha do you require for the kutim? Hashgacha tmidis, let's say, or it's enough to have a yotzei v'nichnas based on the principle of mirtas. That's Abaya and Rava. And the Gemara says that Ravashi, who gave a different answer to this question, different reading of the Mishnah, which we'll get to hopefully next week, that is mumar ochel nevelos l'teyava. We're talking about not a kuti, but a Jew. But a Jew who doesn't conduct himself in an admirable way, for he's not a Shomer Mitzvos properly, right? His Yetzirah is very, very weak. His self-discipline is weak. And therefore, he it doesn't take much for him to cave. It doesn't take much for him to acquiesce to his passions. So that's the view of Ravashi. Why did Ravashi like Abai and Rava? What's the problem with saying that the Mishnah refers to the Kutim? So the Gemara says, Ravashi lomar ketravayu kas kasavar kutim geire arayos hein. This is four lines into the wide lines, or five lines from the bottom of the page. Kutim are geire arayos, geirim of lions, meaning they were scared into their commitment, and therefore we don't believe them to be good and pashtus. We don't consider them to be proper Jews. That's the line. And on that line, Tosas jumps in and raises the problem. Tosas says, Kasavar kutim geir arayosim, ushkitasan psula. And if that's really true, namely that they weren't authentic in their geirus, then they're non-Jews. And if they're non-Jews, then their shkita is automatically disqualified. Kamo shalom de kachavim, just like the shkita of a non-Jew, also a big issue which we'll get to, but certainly everybody agrees that the shkita of a non-Jew is disqualified. There's some controversy about what the Rambam thinks about why the Rambam thinks that is so, and when the Rambam thinks that is so. Bali Tosas have a more definitive view, as you can see right here. They say kamo shalom de kachavim, that it's based on mi vizavachta masha tzoveach ata. Okay, klomar oso shu bar zvicha, somebody who is commanded to do the zvicha when it comes to korbanos, right? He can shecht la fuke over the kachavim veochel levelos lahachis. For good measure, Tosas throws in that an ochel levelos lahachis, which we'll speak about not again, not this week, but in the coming weeks, meaning he doesn't do it out of desire. They're not hungry. It's not that he can't resist a good nevela, right? He does it lahakas. He does it out of rebelliousness. Right? He does it specifically to thumb his nose at Yahadus, at the world of Halacha. So such an individual, like an Akum, says Tosas, we'll discuss whether everybody agrees about that, is considered to be Mufka. I mean, if there's a Gadol Omid Al Gabav, even if we know that he did it properly, if he's a non-Jew, or if he's a Mumar Lahachis, then you can't eat from his Shkita, even if you did a perfect Shkita. The Alpha Gab, the Omar B'Sof Perik based Yivam. Then Tosis gets into the issue that I'm interested in, which is, but the Gemara in the end of Yivamos, on Chavdawad and Beis, seems to embrace B'di'eved, the status of a Ger Arayos, somebody who, out of fear, joins Klal Yisrael. Because the Gemara there says, Echad Ger Arayos, whether it's, lion-motivated Gerin, Echad Ger Chalomos, people had a dream, whatever, a bunch of other cases as well, including, by the way, Gerus for the sake of marriage is discussed in that Gemara in Yivamos. It sounds like the Gemara thinks that while we're not happy about all these situations, that Kulam, Gerim, Gemurim, in the end of the day, motivation notwithstanding, right, that the Gerus is Chal. So if that's the case, why does the Gemara here say, and in many other places in Shas, that according to the Mandamar, that Kutim are Gerei Arayos, right, that they are Mufka from Shechita, that they have no Kedushas Yisrael. Now again, it should be noted that when the Gemara there says what it says in Yivamos about Gerei Arayos, it is not specifically speaking about Kutim. It's speaking in general. Right, people who are Misgayer, and they have ulterior motives. And one of the examples they give is Arayos. But they're not historically speaking about the Kutiyim. But the question would be, since when the Gemara does speak about the Kutiyim, they formulate it, as a debate about Gerei Emes, authentic Gerim, Gerei Arayos, right, lion-motivated Gerim, who are obviously inauthentic. So how do you square, even though there's no absolute stira, it's interesting to note that Rashi, in Yivamos, on that Gemara, when it says Gerei Arayos, says gives the example of the Kutim. Okay, but the Gemara itself is not necessarily, which leaves an opening, particularly for what Tosa says here, which is Haynu Kishim is Gayer Legamri Mipachad Arayos, Avol Kutim Lo Nizgayer Legamri Kedesiv Malachim Es Hashem Hayu Yirayim Es Elohei Hem Hayu Ovdim. So Tosis here makes a very important distinction. Between the content and the motivation of Gerus. Basically, Tosis says, the Gemara Yivamos is talking about why the person agreed to undergo Gerus. But it doesn't have to necessarily impinge upon the seriousness of his commitment. Or perhaps, this is another question, the sincerity of his commitment. That's an interesting in-between case. What if you have somebody, you talk about three scenarios, probably talk about more, right? Somebody whose motivation is not, l'shem Gerus. Right, but he's sincere and serious. And what about somebody who's serious, but not necessarily sincere? As I'm using sincerity right now, not to connote, purely motivated, obviously. I'm saying there are three different things. Why do you want to be a Jew? Right? That's one issue. The other extreme is, are you going to follow the rules and regulations? Are you sincere? I'm sorry. Are you serious and committed, right, to the to Jewish life? And then the in between point I'm raising is about sincerity. Now sometimes I could be, I could want to join the Jewish people, for ulterior motives, but I could still believe that they're a chosen people and that their life, is excessively meaningful and sanctified. Just that the trade-off between having all those, you know, Ratzal Kodesh Baruch Hu, the way we look at it is, Lazakos is Yisrael, Lefika Chirvel, and Torah Mitzvos. But as the Gemara says in Ksubis, and Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, you know, somebody who comes from a very different background, it might be very difficult for them to acclimate and to fully embrace the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos and the Kabbalah Sol Ma'apos Shemayim. That doesn't necessarily mean that you don't believe that it is, you know, a better way of life, a truer way of life. So there really are, I'm just pointing out, I'm not going to prosecute this case now, but this is a very critical question. It has been since the very first, you know, Ger, I guess that's this week's Parsha probably, right? Yes. Parsha's Yisro. Yeah? That is this week's Parsha, right? Yes. No? Yes. Okay, I just want to make sure. So I guess since the first Ger joined the Kalyu, Mashmua Shama Raduba, we say about Yisro. Like, that part of it is curiosity. Like, why did he, why did he want to throw his lot in with Kalyu? Why did he come? Or, I guess in a bigger way, why did he want to throw his lot in? But part of it is certainly also a question about his, his motive, you know, his seriousness and his sincerity, right? Meaning, he saw that they were, you know, this was the new winning team, right? Or, you know, this, you know, maybe he was a God-fearing man and he realized that the Ribbono Shel Olam has a special relationship with this people, right? So, in a way, Mashmua Shamo Buzz, partly this question, too. So these are issues, always. What I think is, and I think I mentioned it last week already, but I'll repeat it again. It's interesting to wonder, in addition to wondering about these factors, it's also interesting to wonder whether or not there's a difference between Yechidim and a Tzibur. I mean, absorbing a nation, you know, and dealing with individual Geirim. And again, maybe, you know, some other time when we have more time, we'll talk much more detail about this, but Lekula Lechumra, right, the easiest thing to say is that Geirus is Geirus. You know, that the truth is that the paradigm of Geirus is also Maimon Har Sinai, also this week's Parsha. And, and most cases of Geirus are individual Geirus that are derived from the Geirus of Klal Yisrael. You could look at that and say, well, you know, what this demonstrates is that, you know, sometimes you have group Geirus and sometimes you have individual Geirus, but it's all the same. However, there's a lot of evidence, certainly that first Geirus, the Geirus of Klal Yisrael, is singular. I've talked about this in the past. All of Klal Yisrael crossed the Rubicon, you know, together, and it's not like they were, you know, a different nation before. They became a nation together, but they weren't from a different nation. You know, there wasn't a transformation, you know, like there is in every other case, and there wasn't an assessment of their previous status, you know, comparison to the standard of Klal Yisrael, because the standard of Klal Yisrael was being generated by Maimon Har Sinai and its Geirus, right? Which explains a lot. We've talked about some of these in the past, but the question of, you know, why you don't say Ger Shenzgar Kakatan Shenoladami for each member of Klal Yisrael, you know, at Maimon Har Sinai. We don't say that. All the Mefarshim wonder about it, right? You know, there's tons of Achronim who ask this question and give different answers. I think that's probably the answer. The question is, though, so that's a group dynamic, but it's obviously not just a group dynamic. It's the group dynamic. It's really the initiation of Klal Yisrael through some sort of an act of Geirus. In terms of the question that I'm raising, which is that was certainly a singular, and yet it is also paradigmatic of Geirus, even for an individual, that means that there's overlap, for sure. But what about another absorption of a group, right? What about that? You know, that's an interesting problem. So I suspect that the whole question of Geri Arayos, Geri Emes, some of the particulars of this discussion in both Lekula and Lechobra have to do with the group dynamic of Geirus here.
What would you say this is the aim of Rav?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. 100%. I think I mentioned that before. In a way, I mean, no one really knows, but there's tons of speculation about it. Or just look in the Mefarshim and in the Parshas that we're reading, right? I mean, every time the Torah says Am, and then the same pasuk it says Yisrael, you know, so a lot of the Mefarshim, you know, sometimes Ramban, and sometimes Or HaChaim, and sometimes the Kli Yakar, and some, you know, others, they say, oh, this is the Erev Rav, and that's Klal Yisrael, and you know, what real status they had, the Erev Rav, you know, is I guess they were the Kutim before the Kutim were the Kutim. But we're really, you know, what their status was and how it all ended is so unclear. You know, but I mentioned it before because I do think, because again, they were also insincerely motivated partly, and the substance of their commitment seemed to have been somewhat problematic. You know, and were they discernibly different? I mean, part of the thing about the Kutiyim, which I think is also singular, is that they were absorbed into Klal Yisrael and they remained, you know, mostly, or the ones that did anyway, they remained an entity. Right? It's not like, for generations and generations, as we'll see, you know, and their behavior was, you know, discernibly different. Usually in a bad way, a little bit in a good way. Some of the Dukei Mitzvahs, we'll see in a minute. But, you know, that I think is a very important issue. I mean, they never fully integrated. And therefore they were an identifiable population. I think that may have had something to do with the Kula and the Chumra, you know, with their status. But Erev Rav is, I think, the first paradigm of that. Okay, anyway, so what Tosa says here is that's the distinction. Tosa says, well, the motivation was Arayos, both in Yevamos and Chavdas and Dalan and Beis, and for the Kutiyim, but the difference is that the Chavdalan and Beis Geri Arayos, you know, we're just talking about the why, we weren't talking about the what. Right? Certainly not in commitment, and maybe not even sincerity, then I'm making that distinction. But the Geri Arayos of the Kutiyim, says Tosis, right, they were not fully committed. And they were involved in this. Mechilta says it was shittuf, I mean, a pretty big deal, right? As Eloheihem hayu ovdim, even as Hashem hayu yireihem. It's not like they were violating a couple of drabbanans. I'm not saying that's good either, but you know, we're talking about a zara basically. Like, it's hard to understand this whole thing. And then the Gemara, then Tosis in the end says uman da amar geri emes, because once you've said that, it it puts all the pressure on the other foot, right, on the other area. In other words, if they were, you know, not even, didn't get their act together even when it came to Avodah Zarah, so what's the Manda Amar Geri Emes? So Tosis here says, no, that's because afterwards, you know, they had a more, everybody agrees that initially what they did was insufficient. And the question is whether afterwards, you know, they were able to, you know, accomplish full gairus. That's becomes an interesting question. I mean, it's a machlokas and mitzios. There's a tshuva, the famous tshuva, the Maram Rupshik, on this question, where he says, like, what, there was a machlokas and mitzios between the different views, whether or not they had a second gairus? Or is it a legal argument whether or not, on the heels of a group, he doesn't say the group part, the group is my part, my point, on the heels of a checkered, problematic, you know, first stage, or previous gerus, you know, how do we look at, you know, a second gerus? Or, the way the Maram Shik actually has it, and some of the other Achronim say this as well, but I don't think this works well for our Tosis, necessarily. Tosis and Sukkah, and Afchesson Beis, instead of the words like we have Umanda Margeri Emes, Kasavar, Deshuv, Nizgairu Legamri. That's our Tosis. And like Tosin Sukkah and some of the Tosa Rushes, it says something like Shuv Nitkenu. You know, doesn't say Nizgairu Legamri. So the view of some of the acronym is that what that might mean, they say for this Tosis too. I just think it's harder to say it for this Tosis. Is that sometimes, this is an issue of Geirus, sometimes even if you don't know that you're being Mizgayer, or you don't intend to be Mizgayer, you do a Tvila, Shalolish, it's not L'shem Geirus, let's say you think that you're a member of Klal Yisrael, right? You had a checkered or problematic geirus, or maybe even we've determined an inadequate geirus, but your image, your self-image, your self-perception, say you're a member of Klal Yisrael, and you identify, and then you you do an act of tefillah, b'toras, your self-image is a member of Klal Yisrael. So a woman does a tefillah l'nida, a man does a tefillah l'keri, or whatever, you know, or maybe Erev Yom Kippur, or whatever people do tefillah. So that might be an effective completion of a geirus. Okay, if you need a bezin, it would have to be, in the presence of a bezin, whatever. So some of the achronim say this. They say that's what we mean. And that's the issue. The issue is, it's a legal question, not a practical question. Did they then do a second, a sincere geirus? It's hard to say that's a machlokas in the Gemara, right? It's easier to say, right, that what happened afterwards, legally, because of, the framework of what took place before it, like, so how do we legally assess that? That's an important and interesting question. All right. Either way, that's it. On the other hand, the Bali Rashi, rather, in Yavamos, and the Ramban in Kiddushin, the one time the Rashi and Yavamos that I mentioned, when the Gemara says Geiroi Rias, and then, Rashi says, for example, the Kutiyim, that's a little more difficult to understand, right? Because our Tosis here is saying that it's misleading. You have the same phrase Gerarios, but it means two totally different things. Not totally. It means two different things. In one place, it refers to motivation, and in the other place, it refers to content, commitment, etc. But when Rashi in Yavamos says that when the Gemara says, that Geirei Arayos are okay, and Rashi says Geirei Arayos, like the Kutiyim, again, it's still possible to say that he meant, the same kind of Arayos action, the same kind of physical threat, although it was totally different in terms of what it affected, but it sounds like Rashi's saying that it's the same din. But then the problem is the Gemara there says that they're Geirim, and in the Oliver Shas, when we speak about Geirei Arayos, we say that they're not Geirim. So can they be Geirim and not Geirim at the same time? Right? So, does Rashi mean that, they weren't Geirim at the time, but there was enough, Geirus that later, when they became more serious, again, they could build on that? Or does Rashi mean something else? There might be indications that Rashi has a more nuanced view of what Geirei Arayos means, that it doesn't mean they totally weren't Geirim, even to the point of what I was suggesting for the Achronim here. Yeah?
Are you suggesting that whether to treat the Tzibor differently than the Yachir, does that have Kufa the Machok in Geirei Arayos and Geirei Emes, potentially?
I think that might be, yeah. That in other words, how you treat a group and how you treat individuals in terms of the standards of Kabbalah on mitzvos, or whether you take a longer view to wait to make sure, lekula or lechomra.
Which way does it go?
I think there are indications that it goes in both ways. We'll see. In this way, I think it's lekula. That's A, just that you just didn't throw them out right away. And B, that you may have allowed them to build on this. I think it ends up being lechomra, in the end of the Gemara, according to a certain view. No, it's in the end of the Gemara where they expel them Klal Yisrael, and this is generations later. How do you do that? Like, on the basis of what? Unless you think this is his license to do that, to groups or to individuals per se, and that has nothing to do with the whole story. I suspect, and I think in some Makoros it sounds this way, but I also, it's a speculation on my part, but it's very deeply conviction. Laden speculation that some of the things that happen later in the Gemara are connected to this. But yeah, okay. So this is just food for thought. There's much more to talk about. Let me just highlight it a little bit more in terms of Geirei Arayos, because I don't want to spend, I'd say, so much time on this. So there are the problem. If you look all over Shas, there is a lot of mixed evidence about the status of the kuti. And it's connected to, again, the phrases kuti geri emes, kuti arayos, but in some cases it's also just connected to the actual mixed legal standing, you know, that they seem to have. So it's interesting. The Tosa Rosh in Kiddushin, an Ayin Heyomid base, sort of main sugyas of Kuti Geri Emes and Geri Arayos, quotes Rabbeinu Tam as trying to solve one of these, you know, puzzles, you know, where it seems like the Kutim are being treated as Jews and non-Jews, you know, at the same time, that they have halachic standing and they don't have halachic standing. There the Gemara talks about in terms of the Isra of Los Eskatein Bam, since the Gemara in Kiddushin, as Rabbeinu Tam understood it, that even if you hold Kutim Geri Arayos, the way Rabbeinu Tam, quoted by Tosa Rosh, says it, the Kutim do not have an Iser of Los Eskatein Bam. That's shocking. That's not standard view. None of these are the standard view. But that's a view. So the Rabbeinu Tam explains, very fascinating explanation, because when the Gemara says Los Eskatein Bam, it says V'lo Yasuru, the problem is that we're worried. And one of the problems of Los Eskatein Bam is the influence. Los Eskatein Bam in general is a kind of the interface between Arayos and Avodah Zarah. Right? You're worried you're going to have non-Jewish children, or you're worried that your children will be growing up in a non-Jewish or in a confused environment, etc. But Lo Yasuru, you know, and they won't, you know, turn away from Judaism. So Rabbeinu Tam, quoted in that Tosa Rosh, says something very remarkable. I probably should have put it on the sheet. And that is, he says, well, that the Mechayev of Los Eskate, not everybody agrees with this, is the bad influence that you're exposing, right, your progeny, your future progeny, or yourself, to, in the context of such a marriage. So Rabbeinu Tam says, but the Kutiim, were living in the Jewish community, they thought of themselves as Jews. They were doing mitzvahs. Okay, they weren't perfect, and maybe even according to the Man Amar, that they were Geri Arayos, that their initial level of commitment or motivation, depending on your point of view, right, was deficient, and therefore they didn't achieve proper Kiddushas Yisrael. But in the end of the day, they were still living, everybody agrees that they were living like as part of the Jewish community, and that they were doing mitzvahs, says Rabbeinu Tam. So there's no environmental problem with them. Okay, now that is not a compromise in actual Geirus or Kedushas Yisrael. It is a very big chiddush about Los Eskatein Bam, right? Saying that Los Eskatein is an Iser that particularly has to do with the pragmatic impact or influence, and with the added assumption that the Kutiim aren't a bad enough influence because they're doing mitzvos and they're perceiving themselves, and maybe others are perceiving them as part of the Jewish community, even though they're really not. Okay. A more intriguing compromise is the famous view of the Meiri. Could be that others hold this way. Some people think that Rashi holds this way, including the Rashi I mentioned in Yavamos, but a bunch of Rashis, which I'm not going to go through now, in Eruvin and in Yavamos and in Sanhedrin, there are a whole bunch of Rashis. But Rashi seems to say that the problem of the Kutiim is a problem of parallel opposite of Rabbeinu Tam, is a problem of Los Eskatein Bam, but with regard to other dinim, that the Kutiim might have a status of Yisrael. You're not allowed to marry them, right? But they have dinim ki Yisrael. For example, Ones, Mefata, those Knossos, the sug in the beginning of Perek Elonairus in Ksuvas seems to say that you know, that those dinim apply to the Nesinim, to the Givonim, and also to the Kutiim. That's what it sounds like in the Mishnah, and it sounds like that Rashi interprets that way in the beginning of Ksuvah. So the Meiri, in the beginning of Elun Aharos, also quotes, also understands it this way. If you look here on page one, yeah, I'm not sure why. Oh, I see. I split it up. I see. Behind the Sinim, first he talks about the Givonim, but we talked about the Kutiim here. But the, you know, the, another group, of course, is the Givonim, right? The Nesinim, Yeshua. Behind the Sinim, Afhein Bechlal. This is what the Meiri writes about the Nesinim. Afhein Bechlal Chai VeLavin. Right? Dehein Bnei Givonim. Shenizgayru Derech Shikros. Vehishirum. They let them remain. Right, velolach zigram, velolach zikam, begerim gemurim leinyan chasnus, ela shem chayavim b'taryag mitzvos. Wow. The Meiri says they're chayavim b'taryag mitzvos, but you're not allowed to marry them. Who shamar b'talmud amarav? Nesinim lo chashu lahem, ela mishum psul mishpacha. Din temar mishum avdus, me'ata bala nesino lehei ela knas. And it sounds like there is a knas. Va'odam rusham, nesinim Yoshua richkam, right? Umashomer b'talmud shaloni vamos, shadavid gazar aleim shem nishtakach because of David v'richkam, avu mekamakom nisharu be'isar chasnus meika gerusam shebimei Yoshua umitokach isar chasnus shalahem mina Torah, uhu shomer alav gemara mamzeres and nesina ika binayu. Again, this is not a majority view. This is a minority view. But it is a view. And some people think that Rashi may hold this way as well. Lamanda marui l'kaima, panami arui, etc. Hevin ha-mikra, velosei li'isha, isha arui l'kaima. Then in the continuation, because the Mishnah in Elun Aharos speaks about knas also for nesina, which is givonim, and also for kutis. So he says, v'ha-kutis, afishnuya l'das ha-omer gere arayo, same. He's saying the Mishnah in Elun Aharos, which counts a kutis as somebody who's, you know, whose ones and pitu, right, triggers a knas, right, is according to the Mandamar, Geri Arayos. Wow. V'nisharu b'isr chasnus. What do you mean? What sense are they Geri Arayos if they have Kedushas Yisrael and they're Chayiv B'Knasos? You're not Chayiv B'Knasos for ones and pitu of a non-Jew? Right? So what the Meiri Lishitaso is saying is that Geire Arayos means they don't have full Kedushas Yisrael, meaning there's an Isra to marry them. El Shemekivin Shechayavim B'mitzvos Harein Kishar Chai V'Lavin. Right? But if you violate them, that's a lav, because they're Chai B'mitzvos. That's different than the Tosa Rosh B'Shem Rabbeinu Tam, who's saying they do mitzvos and therefore, you know, it's not bad thing to send your children, you know, for a play date with them. You know, there's no los eschatein. We're saying the opposite. There's los eschatein because legabe ishus and legabe los eschatein, right, that their gerus is incomplete. But legabe mitzvos, they have kedushas Yisrael. Right? Ella, shekvar asom, achar kein, that's a Gemara from Regehto, Heon Beis and Bob Meraleth, Kigoyim Gemurim, they expelled them, whatever that means. V'yesholim, v'imladas gerer rais nemra, hechiyavinu luknas, nozavacha b'giyusa. If they're really not Jews, well, where's the knas? V'im yishum shalei heichote niskar, erot perik rishon, yidalef amadalef, shein nosin knas mitamze, eli isha medes becheskas yisraelis. V'eino she'ela, lav gius mikri. You can give them the knas because they have partial kedushas Yisrael. They're chayiv min haTorah the mitzvos. Be'afal gav de mitukum asmisa libid Rabbi Meir be'iud amar geiri emesim kedisa b'avakamalam chesam beis. Right, that would ruin everything. Well, that would. But then you have trouble to explain the isra chasnus. Maybe what. Meaning that this is the Mandamar Kutigere Arayos, but there's a Chiv Knas. Some people think that's what Rashi means in Elun Aharos. And then they connect it all up with these other Rashis. Like Rashi, in a few places, says something like, Kutim Geire Arayos, Ve'enam Geirim Gemurim. Enam Geirim Gemurim. Enam Geirim. Right? And then again, Rashi and Sanhedrin, and the Ramban Sanhedrin, you know, I think Nun Hei, both seem to say something like, you know, again, the problem is Los Ischatein, but there is Tvisas Kiddusha. How can there be Tvisas Kiddusha? I'm not sure for the Miri if there's Tvisas Kiddusha, by the way, at all. When he says that there's an Ischatein, see, maybe there's no Tvisas Kiddusha either. This is a whole perspective, and there's, you know, more Rayas. The Tosis Shanim in Yoma seems to say that a kuti can be mafris truma because he's a ben bris, or he can make himself a ben bris. Even according to the Mandamar, kuti geri arayos, meaning there is a whole. Again, this is not the standard and mainstream view. The standard mainstream view, with all the problems, is that kuti geri arayos means he's a goy gamor, and kuti geri arayos means he's a yisrael gamor. What I'm trying to show is there are a lot of problems, both, you know, to try to figure out what the machlokas is, you know, as well as to actually navigate some of the gemaras and sugyas, like who's this according to? And you have these deos, you know, that accumulate a little bit, you know, that mostly within the view of kuti geri arayos. Kuti geri arayos, that means they don't have full Kedushas Yisrael. Maybe mostly with regard to Ishas. But Chiyuv Mitzvos there is. Or, in some cases, according to the Mandamar Kuti Geri Emes, yeah, but not with respect to this particular halacha. So then this idea that there's kind of Mikzas Kedushas Yisrael, now do you ever have Mikzas Kedushas Yisrael outside of Kuti and outside of Givoni? That's an interesting question too. The answer is we do have some echoes on it. Well, Eved Kenani is a great example. Again, it comes from a little bit of a different place, but you have certainly, you know, when we learned Shuas a couple of years ago, we talked about it more fully, right? There's a big debate how to understand it. Certainly in Lo Lami Isha, right? He has a chiyuv mitzvos, but not mitzvaseshes van grama. But again, is lacking some measure of Kedushas Yisrael, unlike an Isha, right? That's the Chiluk. And then, the transition, you know, to become a full member of Klal Yisrael through Shichrur, and maybe, if it's Doraisa, second Tvila, right, what does that imply? Right? So he was a Yisrael Gomor, but he was just a Shem Eved? And all his, you know, apparent, you know, deficiencies in terms of Kedushas Yisrael are all chalked up to Avdus. Even if it is chalked up to Avdus, that's because Avdus itself is something which negates Kedushas Yisrael. I don't mean Eved Ivri, I mean Eved Kenani. Or is it that he has only mixed as Kedushas Yisrael? In which case, you know, what does he have and what doesn't he have? And that's a kind of a. But there, at least, you're coming. You know, there's a certain process of identity. And even then, it's quite tricky.
How could they be Emes if they're not Makabal Torah Shabbat?
Say again?
How could they be Geiri Emes if they're not Makabal Torah Shabbat?
That's a great question. So, because it could be that they were Makabal and they just weren't, you know, that afterwards they just weren't Nizhar in it, or though they dropped it. But that's a great question. Or is that part of the group, you know, were we Makel on the requirements of Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos, or didn't ask certain questions? Or we're more tolerant to give more time. That's kind of what I was alluding to before. I don't know this for a fact. I just think there's so many problems, you know, with both the initial acceptance of Kutim and in the opposite direction with their expulsion, and how you can do that, especially after so many generations, that's feeding my theory that this is, you know, a different kind of a group dynamic Geirus. Yeah.
How does shichrur become a possibility?
A shichrur? Say that one more time.
How does shichrur become a possibility when there is none?
What do you mean? No, well, not so does it is an assay. I mean, aside from the fact that you might need a minion and you know,
yeah,
then you want to do a mitzvah baba beira, as the Gemara calls it, and I mean, there is an assay, but you know, something usually. I mean, most of the Rishonim say that for no reason, gratuitously, you know, there's an isra of lola b'hem savod. But you know, if it's tebi, you know, there's some reason, you know, to be mishakrer, then there's no isra at all. Moreover, what if you did it? Even if there is an isra, it doesn't mean the shechur is in chal. Right. So that's an interesting question, but that's a market.
That's a procedural issue.
Yeah, that's a procedural issue, which is even overcomable in its own right. But you have other things. For example, we'll get to it in Yisroel Meshumud, one of the things we're going to talk about in the coming weeks. You know, typically we say Yisroel Shechata, Yisroel Meshumud. You know, Yisroel Afal Pi Shechata, Yisroel Hu. That's the expansion of the line, you know, that is said with regard to Achan. You know, but Rashi, the famous Tshuva's expansion of that. But not everybody agrees. That's what we normally accept. We say, no matter how bad you are, even if you're kegoy l'chol advarim, you know, kiddush of kiddushim and gerush of gerushin, because he's still in Israel. This, you know, then you have to figure out what do we mean kegoy l'chol advarim. It obviously isn't l'chol advarim, right? But if indeed there is a requirement, which some people suggest, that you need a tevila on the way back, you know, for heter, there are those who think that, you know, that Yisrael Meshumad is has an Yisrael of Lo Siskate. Yeah, that's a very remarkable thing. You know, that you need a tefillah for that. You have a bunch of these things. I mean, there's a whole discussion about the Rif's view, what happens if you have a tefillah for Geirus, but not in the presence of a Bez. You know, whether that's ma'akev or whether there might be an in-between status is a whole discussion in Ramban. And maybe legabe knisa l'kahal, you know, it's ma'akev, but maybe not for other things. So there is this idea of miktsas gerus or gerus, especially that is deficient with regard to knisa l'kahal. It is a concept that we find. You know, that's how many achronim explain. So again, some of the mixed evidence. Rashi is also very involved in this. You know, goy or eved shabah abas Yisrael, that the vlad, as we know, the vlad is Yisrael, and yet Rashi in Kiddushin and Tosus in Yevamos, there's a whole group of rishonim, again a minority of authorities, but still prominent ones, that think when you have a goy or a goyer, an Abed Shabbat Bas Yisrael, the child is Yisrael, that nonetheless he needs Geirus. Or he should have Geirus. That's very strange, obviously. If he's a Yisrael, what does he need Geirus for? So some of the poskim suggest that means with regard to Knesset L'Kahal. I always try to explain why is it, you know, in response to the question. And I'm surely mentioned this in the past, and when we did Kiddushin and Ksuvas, but in response to the question of the Gonim, you know, why does the bracha of Birchas Eirusin conclude Mekadesh Amo Yisrael Aidei Chuppah V'Kiddushin, Mekadesh Amo Yisrael? It's rare to have a bracha, right, which whose Chasima speaks about Kiddushas Yisrael, right? Actually, I have it in davening in the morning too, right? Kadesh Yisrael Barabim, but very rare. So the Gonim ask, like, why Dafke Ishas? So I think that there are two answers, I think they're connected, they're overlapping answers. One is that Eirusin in particular kind of highlights or, you know, kind of really embodies the concept of Kedusha. And this has to do with things that we've talked about many, many times in those in Inyanei Kiddushin and Ishus, and that is that the Chiddush of Maimon Har Sinai, Matan Torah, is that that Chuppah, that Heter Isha Labala, requires first that you step back, right, and that you commit, you know, in a formal legal Kenyan type of way, Erusin prior to Nisuin. In a way, that kind of highlights, you know, the idea of Kedusha. You know, Gedarim that are meant to advance, you know, an intimate relationship, not instead of it, but to create a kind of protective climate for it and to, you know, kind of enrich or uplift, you know, what that is. So that's why I think Mekadesh, it's a symbol of Kedushas Yisrael. I don't want to get involved, but I think the other part of that, and I think they're related, is this point, and that is that even in Kedushas Yisrael itself, right, there's a recognition, at least in some Makoros, that Knisa Lakal, that Legabe Ishus, the standards are higher or different. Meaning you want Kedushas Yisrael as an individual, right, to be chayav the mitzvos, that's one level, right? And that's maybe the, again, individual, as a status as an individual member of Klal Yisrael, or an individual, I should say, Jew. But to be a member of the tzibur, of the kahal, you know, and to be subject to, again, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh, to get a heter of knisa lekahal, you know, where there's no problem of los hischatin bam, that's where you have to protect the future, right, and the building blocks of Klal Yisrael. And we're talking about the collectivity of Klal Yisrael. That's a different level of Kedushas Yisrael. And therefore, there can be Geurios, or in the other direction, you know, there can be Kedushas Yisrael cases where you still need a matir for Knisa Lakal. In that sense, it's an independent dimension of Kedushas Yisrael, Mekadesh Amo Yisrael, Ayidei Chupa V'Kedusha. It's a separate dimension of Kedusha, or the completion of Kedusha. So this idea of Kutim Geirei Emes, Kutim, especially Kutim Geirei Arayos, as representing not an all, you know, or nothing, but as reflecting a more complicated, you know, maybe piecemeal, or missing one dimension, or having some dimensions but not other dimensions of Kedushas Yisrael is something to think about. The paradigm for all of this, I should mention, especially in terms of Knisa Lekahal, and this is something that some of the posts can point out, comes from the requirements of Geirus to begin with. Again, going back to Maimon Har Sinai as well, which were Mila, Tvila, and Hartzaz Damim, meaning Korban. So Bizman Hamikdash, or Bizman Korbanos, like what would happen if you do Mila and Tvila, you know, without the Korban? So the Gemara seems to say in Krisus that, you know, Chesed Beis, Tesem Aleph, that would, you know, bring you Mikdash Kedushas Yisrael, but not Knisa Lakal. Right? Once there are no Korbanos anymore, and it's not like you are, you know, delinquent, you know, in your korban requirement, because it's not doable, right? So then, you know, that's not makev, or it gets bundled into the tvila. There are different ways to say it. Okay? But the idea that you can have a mixas kedushas Yisrael, but not one which is incomplete legabe ishus, really has its roots already there. And then there's interesting questions about miktsas, you know, let's say you did for a male, a mila b'li tvila, right? Whether there's some miktsas kedushas Yisrael. Maybe not with regard to Ishus, maybe with regard to other things. I think it's the Avnei Nezer, if I recall, who, again, speaking about last week's Parsha, what I think he wanted to suggest, that one of the reasons it's significant that Shabbos was included in the complement of mitzvos at Mara, so the Chazal say that it's, you know, there are different lists, but Dinim, Paraduma, and Shabbos, and then Some have the also the Kibla Bain. But whatever it is, I think Avni Nezer has a comment where he says that the fact that Shabbos was included already in Mara shows you that there can be Shabbos even when there's an incomplete Geirus. And that's a big issue that the Achronim discussed. They picked up on this only in the last 250 years, this idea of there being a mitzvah geirus in which there's no problem of shmiras Shabbos, like goyish Shabbos is chayiv misa, right? So what do you do with somebody who's in the middle of a geirus process? So this idea that there could be, you know, a geirus in which you're shayiv to certain mitzvahs but not to others, that became a big issue and topic. Again, a couple hundred years, last couple of hundred years in particular. So there is this whole, you might be mechalek, different, you know, where to draw the line in terms of what yes, what not. But the idea of miktsas geirus or miktsas kedushas Yisrael is a massive but an interesting topic. Again, at the end of the day, you know, the psukim in Rus, amecha mi alakai chalakai, which I think we mentioned last week also, the idea that there are two elements in Geirus, that there's, you know, a ben adam lemakom and a membership in Klal Yisrael, and the individual and being part of the tzibor, is certainly part of it. Again, ideally, we would never want to split those two things. They're certainly connected to each other. Here and there, you know, there were circumstances where some of these components were able to be expressed without others, at least as, you know, in the middle of a process. And that's a very fascinating thing. Okay, so that's one issue that I wanted to talk about. And again, there's much more to say about it. Obviously, it's massive, it's all over the place, but this is just our drive-by for this. Then the Gemara goes on to discuss the conduct of the Kutiyim after they were absorbed into Klal Yisrael, or accepted, or treated as members of Klal Yisrael, and yet their behavior was extremely problematic. And here's where the Gemara basically is, you know, makes clear that they mostly didn't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh, and certainly weren't committed to Lifnei Iver L'Seitein Michshol. That has to do with the status of Shechita as well. So the Gemara here on Dalet Amud Aleph tells us, yeah, I'm just going to, we read part of it last week. We talk about the relationship between Yotzei Midichnas and Omid. We're going to read through that again. I want to pick up with the Gemara here. The Gemara here says on Dalet Amud Aleph, V'dilma kasavri kutiyim ein shechita la'of min haTorah. So this is exactly where the Gemara zero in the Gemara is saying, how can you rely on a kuti even if you're chotech basar, you know, v'nosei lo v'hu ochlo, you know, give him literally, you know, a test. You know, you test him to see, you know, will he eat it? Is it poison or not? Right? But maybe they just didn't believe in it at all because they felt that ain't shechita la'of min haTorah. It's not mefurish bakra that there's shechita sof. Right? So the Gemara says, v'li tameich, according to that way of thinking, why do you limit your question to ain't shechita la'of min haTorah? Why not say, shehiya, drasa, chalada, hagrama, v'ikor, right, miksivan? Right, they're also not mefurish bakra, meaning the psulim of shechita, which we're assuming, right, they would be careful about, because otherwise the taste test doesn't work. So, why would you assume, since it isn't explicit in Torah Shebitzav, that they would be scrupulous about that? What's the difference between that and shechita sa'ov? Ella, kivin da achziku behu, achziku behu. Hachanami, kivin da achziku behu, kivin da achziku, I'm sorry, achziku. Meaning, The Kutim story was a little bit complicated, and that is, it didn't break down completely to Torah Shebitzav and Torah Shebalpeh. There were some mitzvos that they were careful about. It's just a fascinating, like a profile in, you know, in deviation, or, you know, this whole two or three dapim in Kulin is about, or different levels of mumrim or ovri aveira, you know, selective shomrei mitzvos or selective ovri mitzvos, whatever you want to call it, because sometimes if you're a pessimist or an optimist. So the Gemara says, v'achzuk lo achzuk bidlok siva tanoi. And situations where there's no explicit Torah Shebichsav, but there's a tradition of being makpid, to keep the halacha by, in terms of the kutim, that's actually machlokas hatanaim, about whether the kutim could be relied upon or not. Netanya, matzas kuti muteres. Right, the matzah of a kuti is permissible, meaning it's no chashash chametz, right? V'adam yotzei bo yidei chavaso b'pesach. You can trust their, you can get you can eat matzah mitzvah from the kuti matzah factory. Okay, there's like charedi matzos, there was kuti matzos. Okay, which was cheaper? So Rabbi Lazar oser. Rabbi Lazar disagreed. He said, "Lefish ein b'kiyim b'dikduke mitzvos ki yisra," because he didn't have as much faith in the kutiim. Says they're not medakdek b'mitzvos. Again, this is the tkufa where they're living in Klal Yisrael, and they're being treated as Jews. But we still know that they're a community, which has its issues. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Amer kol mitzvah shechziku b'kutiim. Harbe medaktikim ba yoser b'Yisrael. Wow. Okay, they had their things. They, in that sense, they were like the Jews, a little bit peculiar too. So the Gemara says, Omar, right, we going back to the previous statement, Matzas kutim muteres, vadim yoser b'yekavasa b'pesach. The Gemara says, Pshita, what do you mean muteres? What would be the problem? Says the Gemara, ma'od d'seim alo b'ki b'shimur. Maybe we're not worried about comets, but maybe you can't be yotzei dechavaso for matzos mitzvah because you need shmartim as a matzos, and they don't believe that that's what it means, or they don't know, what that entails. So maybe they're weak on shmira. One would have thought kamash malon that according to the Tanakhama, right? Not only do we trust them that they're not going to be chametz. We're also trusting in them that they do a proper shimur. Rabbi Lazar Oser, lefi shein b'kim b'dikduke mitzvos kasavar lo b'ki b'shimur. Then, if you look in Rashi here, there's a whole discussion that meaning what you can't use it for matas mitzvah, or we even mean that we're worried about chametz because maybe they don't agree about the standards of chimutz itself. Okay. And we don't need to go into that right now, but if you look, you'll see just very quickly here, look at the Rashi just for a second. Kasava lo b'ki b'shimur, then wide lines, Rashi. Lo gar sinan v'tamo mishum chimutz. Lo gar sinan. It doesn't like the girsa of lo b'ki b'shimur, because why should that make it osur? V'tamo, the real reason, he says, is mishum chimutz. L'man d'garis le'achi, l'man d'garis le'achi, whoever has the girsa of shimur, Hachim Afarish, that's the pshat. Lo b'ki l'shomro milahachnitz. Not that they weren't b'kiim of shmira l'shem matzah mitzvah, but they weren't even b'kiim to keep it, to prevent chimutz. The Yesh Mepharshim B'lazer osa lotzis v'yidei chavaso b'pesach. Some say he just meant you can't use it for matzah mitzvah. B'lav milsehi she'ein zeh loshon iser. It's an interesting question. Can you use the language of iser when it comes to improperly fulfilling, the mitzvah of matzah, on Pesach? Rashi dismisses that idea. It's an interesting question. Okay. Particularly since, right, the relationship between the Isra of Chametz and the mitzvah of matzah is a complex one. So you wonder whether or not maybe it isn't the worst thing in the world to use that kind of lashon, even when it comes to the, you know, absence of a kiyum mitzvah. But okay, we'll leave that for now. Okay, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Kol Mitzvah Shel Sika Bo Kutim Harbin Medaktikim Bo Yosem Yisrael. So Gemara says Haynu Tanakama. Isn't that the same as the Tanakama? Gemara says Sika Benayu Diksiva Velo Achzika Bo. The nafkamina is, let's say you have something which is in Torah Shebitzav. Right, till now we're talking about things that are not in Torah Shebitzav, but they have a tradition to be careful about. That's one issue. Now we're talking about things that are in Torah Shebitzav, and we don't know what their posture is, whether you can rely on their scrupulousness when it comes to Torah Shebitzav. Tanakam Besavar Kiva Tetziv Afagav Delo Achzikuba. Okay, says the Gemara, if that's the case, Yachi Kol Mitzvah Shechziko Bakutim. Instead of saying the words which we have now, Kol Mitzvah Shechziko Bakutim, right? Imchziku mi boile. Ella ikibenayu the lo ksiva, the opposite. Something that's not in Torah Shebichsav. If it's in Torah Shebichsav, then the assumption that they're medaktik is accepted. Question is, the real debate is, let's say they're seemingly medaktik on certain things, but it's not in Torah Shebitzav. Can we, I mean the rest of Klal Yisrael, rely on that reputation of Achzikuba or not? Right, Achzikuba. Tanakam Sarva Kim Delo Ksiva Afagav Achzikuba Nami Lo, and Rav Shimon Gamliel Sarva Kim De Achzuk Achzuk. Okay. Now, is there some relationship between their fuzzy view, or not fuzzy, mostly rejectionist view of Torah Shebaal Peh, and their dismissal of Lefnei V'Lisitei Michshol? So Rashi says that they didn't accept Lefnei V'Lisitei Michshol because they interpreted it, not Rashi here, but Rashi in the previous staff, or on Gimel Amud Aleph, because they interpreted Lefnei V'Lisitei Michshol literally. Meaning, there is a correlation. They didn't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh, and therefore for them, Lefnei V'Lisitei Michshol meant don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind man. It didn't mean, you know, that you are obligated to protect, you know, others from violating Isurim. Okay? So that's the direct relationship. I always thought that there might be something else, and that is, and it could be it's just a speculation or drush, or maybe there's more to it, and that is that the reliance upon, or the perspective on Torah Shebaal Peh itself has to do with a certain perspective on Klal Yisrael as a unit, as a nation. And the whole idea of Torah Shebaal Peh really is a remarkable, you know, again, we're, you know, we grow up with it, and it's, you know, Girsa the Ankasa, so, you know, there's Torah Shebasav, Torah Shebaal Peh, the Torah says Toros, you know, it's pronounced Toros, and it's spelled Toras, you know, and, you know, this is what, you know, Limud HaTorah is all about, but sometimes it's important to take a step back and just, you know, kind of appreciate how remarkable it all is. I mean, this idea that, you know, Rove Torah, Rove Torah, and certainly, you know, the way of thinking and the, you know, the way of halacha, how much of it's rooted in this oral tradition. Again, even this week's Parsha, we have Parshas Yisro, we have the greatest moment in human history, which is the moment of the revelation of, in Har Sinai, the presence of the Rabbanu Shalom to all of Klal Yisrael, and the Aseres HaDibros, as it's Tochen. But that's minuscule, right, compared to the world of Halacha and its, you know, vast range and comprehensiveness, right? So that's all accompanied with, you know, especially the Masorah to Moshe Rabbeinu, Torah Shebaal Peh. And then you have this, you know, responsibility vested in Chachmei HaMesorah, beginning with Moshe Rabbeinu, Shebechol Dor V'Dor, to carry this forward, to transmit it as accurately as possible, to apply it you know, to dynamic flux, you know, the changes in circumstance and so on, and challenging conditions. And all that is through Torah Shebaal Peh. The question is why, but that, I think that's the answer. And the answer is that you need, you know, you needed, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wanted and needed, but especially wanted, to, you know, to be Meshatev Klal Yisrael in this process, and to invest the responsibility and also some of the authority in Klal Yisrael. The Torah Shebaal Peh, alongside Torah Shebitzah, but, you know, is really a testament to, you know, to the prominence of there being an Am Yisrael, a Klal Yisrael. And in a way, you know, the Kutiyim, like the Tzedukim, who came after them, the Rambam in Husavadim, says, you know, the Tzedukim, they're, you know, they inherited the mantle of the Kutiyim. That's what he says. And of course, the Karaim inherited the mantle of the Tzedukim. In a way, it's not just that they disagree, you know, about a small matter, you know, whether there's only Torah Shebitzav or there's also Torah Shebaal Peh, or even a big matter. But it's not just about content. It's not just about also, you know, the nature of halacha as a system. It's also about the role of Klal Yisrael. Because if everything is Torah Shebitzav and it's all literal, right, then Klal Yisrael doesn't need to be a partner. There's no investment in, and there's no national repository of Torah and of all of that. So I think that, in a way, the story with the Kutim is that, you know, in terms of their individual commitment, part of it was okay. But they never really integrated it fully into Klal Yisrael. That's part of the problem. And they didn't believe in Lifnei V'Lasita Michshol. Meaning, whatever standards they have, they were for themselves. This idea that, you know, there's a collective body and that there's arvus is something that they rejected. So I'm just thinking aloud. I wonder, you know, whether their rejection of Torah Shebaal Peh, their rejection of Lifnei V'Lasita Michshol, you know, and even part of their, you know, like the Meiri, you know, they had no Knisa L'Kahal, whether these things are not connected. Yeah.
How do you view that
the Luchot Shmiel
is
the
Torah of Yikar Panav, the motion?
Right. And therefore?
Is that
name and links? Oh, you mean talking about the responsibility question? Or Etzba Lokim and all that? I mean, there's a lot that is said about, I'm not sure what you want to get from the Karan or Panav part. Maybe you can, I'm not sure if I'm answering your question. I'll say something first, but then you can tell me if that's what you meant or not. That is that there's a lot of discussion, of course, about the relationship between the Luchos Rishonos and the Luchos Shnios, and whether everything would have been on the Luchos Rishonos, you know, or everything was to be on the Luchos Rishonos, and it's only, you know, the Luchos Shnios that you had a distinction between Torah Shebitzav and Torah Shebaal Peh. That might be true. It also seems to be the case, In the view of Chazal and some of the many of the Mefarshim, that while the you know, that the Luchos Rishonos were more Etzba Lokim, and Klal Yisrael was more passive, whereas in Luchos Shnios, you know, both the role of Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael was enhanced. I even think those two things, based on what I just said, I've always thought, based on what I just said, that those two things are connected. Right? In other words, that the Torah Shebaal Peh, you know, being a separate component or a more prominent component, is also connected with the investment of responsibility in Klal Yisrael as a junior partner, you know, to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. But that might have been different, you know, if there only had been Luchos Rishonos, according to, you know, some views. I'm not sure what Karin or Panav. Is that what you were kind of asking, or not really?
Well, I didn't know whether that was the part that was linked to the Shviras HaLuchos.
You mean the Karan Oparna or Parna?
The second Luchos.
Right. Maybe.
I wasn't quite.
I think the role of Moshe Rabbeinu, the role of Klal Yisrael, from by extent, I think all of that increases in the Luchos Shnios. I think that that's the case. Anyways, so this is a suggestion. Anyways, in the end of the Gemara, I'm sorry, we're a little bit slower, but in the Gemara, and now I'm skipping the Heyamid Beis because the middle part we're going to do hopefully starting next week when we finish this verse, but that's Mumar L'Teyavo, and we'll do next week. But and in the end of the Gemara says that the Kutiyim, again, forget about phase one and phase two, but as many generations later, the Kutiyim were expelled from Klal Yisrael. But that story itself has phases. Okay? So it goes like this. Again, we have to stop in a minute, but let's get through the Gemara, and I'll tell you what I think the issues are, and then we'll follow through a little bit next week. Gemara says in the middle of the daf here on Heyamid Beis, again, we'll fill in. I'm just jumping to the next phase in the Kuti story. So the Gemara says here on Heyamid Beis, Om Rab Chanana Rab Yaakov Bar Idiom Rab Yoshua, it's almost in the middle of Heyamid Beis. Om Rab Yoshua Ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara, Rabbi Gamliel Beis Dino Nimnu Al Shchitas Kuti V'Asruha. Okay, they voted to prohibit Shchitas Kuti. Wow. What's that? Omele Rav Zeira, L'Rav Yaakov, Bar Idi. So again, they Shchitas Kuti is now Asur. But again, it's it could be read as a policy statement. I mean, they weren't trustworthy anymore, or there's some other, you know, gain, as we'll soon see. At least the initial formulation is not that they're not Jewish anymore. And it could be limited to Shechita, right? And it could be even a policy. Chumra. Is it also Lekula? Omele Rav Zeira L'Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, Shema Lo Shama Rebbe, El B'Sheini Sola, but El Gaba, like he was, you know, incredulous when he heard this. So maybe that's only, maybe we don't mean that, that we canceled their kashrus of their shechita across the board. Maybe what we mean is that we want to redouble our efforts to make sure that the kashrus standards are proper here, and that it's only being done when there's a Yisrael Omen Al Gaba. So the Gemara says, Omelei, Dami Haim Rabbanan Kidlo Gemiri. Inshi, Shmaita. In other words, you're speaking like, you don't know what you're not like a Talmud Chacham. B'shein Yisrael Omen El Gabo, right? Lememra? That you need, that everybody said. No Chiddush in that, you don't need Rabbi Gamliel Beis Dino. So then the Gemara says, Boy, Kibla Mineh Lo Kibla Mineh. Remember, boys, I go like that. Because the Gemara says, Kibla Mineh, Lo Kibla Mineh, meaning, was he Makabal or was he not? I mean, this Gzeira of the Bezdin. So the Gemara says, Tashma, Dom Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Rabasi, Ani Ro'isis Rav Yochanan, Sh'ocha Meshchitas Kuti. So Rav Yochanan ate Shchitas Kuti. Af Rav Asi Ocha Meshchitas Kuti. The Teba Rav Zeira, right? And Rav Zeira was wondering, Lo Shmielahu? But he didn't hear about the Gzeira. Do you have a Shmielahu have a Makabli? La? O Dilma Shmielahu velo Kiblua? He rejected it or he just didn't hear about it? The Gemara says, Hada Pashat Lanafshe, right? And then he's thinking about it and he said, yeah, it must be the Mistabra, the Shmielahu velo Kiblua. He must have rejected it. Why? It's an interesting Gemara. Disokadai Taklo Shmielahu. Because if we think that he just didn't hear about it, but he had heard about it, he would have followed it. So hechin nistayim milsa lemechal isura. So would the Rabbanu Shalom allowed him to encounter such a takala? So it's interesting already because it's an interesting idea anyway, right? Again, hashta behemtan shal tzadikim ena kodesh baruch hu maybe takal al yadan tzadikim atzma lekol shekein. We'll get to that. That's a famous story, which we'll get to. But it's fascinating. The Gemara is calling it isura. Right? The the gzera of the Beis Din was nimdo al shkitas kutav v'asura. But does that make it macholos asuros, or is it a policy statement? Right? Did they really think it was treif, in other words, or did they establish that it was?
Doesn't it have to be a policy statement, because otherwise everything you've been eating for the past week is also no good?
Say that again?
It has to be a policy statement, because otherwise everything that you've just eaten the entire week has been good.
You mean before Rabbi Gamliel?
Well,
it depends what it was based on, unless they just expelled them from, or they just canceled part of their Kedushas Yisrael, which is a strange idea anyway. But we'll see. I hear. Okay, so we'll talk about that. So then the Gemara says, "Viso kadai techlo kibla minei." Right? Lishni le kan kishalom al gabo kan kishen yisalom al gabo and alav shramer kibla minei. Fine. Shema mina. Okay. Then the Gemara says, "Like, what was this gezerah of Rabbi Gamliel about? Like, what happened?" My tamagos v'rabanan. I'm just going to go through the Gemara. We'll analyze it next week. The Gemara says, Kihad Rab Shimon Lazar, right, Shadre Rab Meir, Meir sent him, La Suye Chamer Mi Beit Kutai, to bring some wine, I guess they had good wine, from the Kuti vineyards. So Ashkeche Ha'usaba, on the way he saw this old man, Amalei sent him he was trying to darshan and give him a remez, right, V'samta Sakin Luecha, right, in Bal Nefesh Ata, right, if you're a frum fellow, right, be careful here. Don't take this and drink this wine. So Halakha Rav Shimon Lazar of Sipra Dvan with Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir took it to heart, wow, of the Gazra Aleim. Why? I mean, what really was going, what did he mean? What, that if you're a Bal Nefesh, my time, huh? They encountered the image of a Yona, Mina Marazara. They used to hang out in Har Grizim, that was their place. That's an interesting issue in its own right. Right? What were they doing in Har Grizim all the time? Right? Different views. So basically it's a Marazara. So Rabbi Meir, Letamei, the Gemara says, the Chayish Lemi'uta, in general, Rabbi Meir is Choshesh for Mi'ut. But is this a Din Chayishin Lemi'uta, or is it because of the Mi'ut that he made a determination about their status? So it's interesting, the next line, again, we're going to stop in 1 minute, but the Gazar Ruba Atu Mi'uta. That's very strange. Right? This is such a thing, Agzera of Ruba Atu Miuta. It's one thing to say Choshesh in the Miuta. And that's, again, it's a policy decision. I'm wondering, is this, are these policy decisions because of a Hashash of Miut? So we're treating it this way? We're being Machmir? Then you wouldn't say it Lekula. Right? And it's then misleading when we say Gaza Ruba Atu Miuta. Or it's a second level Gzera. Or is it something more than that? I'll discuss next week. Rabbi Gamliel, Beis Din, Namika Sphere, Rabbi Gamliel Sphere, this is also problematic. Is it really true? Does Rabbi Gamliel generally hold like Rabbi Meir, the Kosher Lemut? Or maybe something else is going on here. That's what we'll talk about next week. So the Gemara says, Pashto de Krob Maiksiv, Agav. This, you know, Samtam Psakin Bluacha. So the Gemara says, Betalmud Yoshev, Pnei Rabbo, the Tan Rabchia, Kiteshev, Lilchom, Moshel bin Tavin, Esa Shelefanecha, Besanta Sakin Bluacha, Im bal nefesh ata, im yodea talmid berabo sheyodea lahachsel otam. The Talmud asks the Rebbe a question and he thinks he knows the answer. Bin, im lav, right, tavin, es asher lefanecha v'sam tesakin bluecha. Im bal nefesh ata, prosh, hey menu. Let's be careful when you ask somebody a question. You shouldn't embarrass him. You know, that he should have the means or the wherewithal to be able to answer. Okay, fine. Then the Gemara says, so that's phase number one in the expulsion, is this Matzu Dmus Yona, Rabbi Gamliel Beis Dino, where it goes there, that the Shechita Bakuti is no good, and we treat it like an Iser. But it's based on Miut, maybe Gzeras Ruba Atu Miut, which is a strange idea. Even if you hold Hashina the Miuta, the idea of Gzera Ruba Atu Miut is definitely not a simple thing. So what do we mean by that? And why did Rabbi Gamliel go along with it? Does he always hold kosher the meal like Rabbi Meir? That's phase one questions. We'll get back to all this next week. We'll start with it. Then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yitzchak ben Yosef, Shadrei, Rabavo, sent Rabbi Yitzchak ben Yosef, Lasuya Chamrim Bekutai. This was quite the quite the wine place. So Ashke Hahu Saba also encountered the same old man. Different Amalei Leiskan Shomrei Torah. Some people are medayik in the different language. You know, before he said to him in Bal Nefesh Ata, and here he said to him, maybe it's worse, things are worse now. And here he said to him, Leiskan Shomrei Torah. So Allah Rabbi Yitzchak Vesibra Dvarim Lefnei Rabavohu, V'Halach Rabavohu Vesibra Dvarim Lefnei Rabami, V'Ravasi V'lo Zozim Misham Ad Sha'asa'um Ovdei Kachavim Gemurim. That's a much stronger language. It's no longer saying that they were gozer, that less or shchitasan. We're now saying Lo Zozim Misham Ad Sha'asa'um Ovdei Kachavim Gemurim. Right? Sounds like that they have been expelled. I feel like, and what does that even mean? Like, how do you do that? Who has the authority to do it? How is it done? You can't take a Jew and just say, you're no longer a Jew, can you? Right? So the Gemara says, Lama, il shchita, liayin nesach, mehasam, right, gazubu rabbana. But that already was a gzeira. So the Gemara says, "Inu gazer v'lo kibla minayu, asir abami ravasi gazer v'kibla minayu." This is very fascinating. Meaning, the first phase didn't work, right? Until Ravami and Ravasi came along, and they. So, what happened between phase one and phase two? Right, that's what we'll discuss next week. Rashi has a view. The Ramban has a view. There might be another view. Okay, and why of the kham gemurim? What does that mean? This is also fascinating. So you would think, if I said to you, they made them of the Kachav and Gemurim, what would you think? Right? The Nevela, we said already, Ainesach, Kiddushin, Geirushin, right? Instead, the Gemara has this case, this Dindrabanan of Eruva Chatzeros. Omar Nachma Yitzchak, Levato Rishus, Velitin Rishus. If you have a Kuti, and he's also in the Chatzer, you know, do you treat him like a Goy or like a Yisrael with regard to the din of Eruvei Chatzeros? Ketan Yisrael Mumar, Meshamer, Shabbaso Beshuk, Mevato Rishus, Venosim Rishus, Vesheinu Meshamer Shabbaso, Beshuk, Einu Mevato Rishus, Venosim Rishus, Vnesh Amr Yisrael, Nosim Rishus, Mevato Rishus, Ovek Achavim Ad She Yiskar. Ketzad Amr La Rishusi Knuyalach, Rishusi Mutalaslach, Kan, Ein Tzarech Lezakos. Okay. Again, we don't need to go into that halacha, the reality of it right now, but that's strange that the Gemara should say, Lo Zozim Misham Ad Sha'asa'um Goyim Gemurim, and instead of some fundamental din d'oraisa that reflects on Kedushas Yisrael, all they give us is Eruv. So there is this massive, I want to discuss these phases next week, right, and what it means that the miut was connected here. More particularly, there's a huge debate among the Rishonim. Like, what is this a real din or not? Is this policy or is this status? And is it even l'chumra? Or is it only l'kula? Obviously, if it's policy, then it makes sense. You could say, you know, we're no longer going to rely on the kutiyim. But let's say a kuti is mekadesh and ishi. You really don't need a get? Or a kuti dies, there's no tumas mace, right, and so on and so forth. Likula, we're going to say asam goyim gemurim. Then would mean business, it seems. And what's that based on? So, what other piece of information to think about? And then we'll try to finish with this next week. And that is that there's a parallel Gemara, which some of them farshim point out. Rashbash at Tshuva points it out, and then carry it over later in terms of the connection. The Gemara used the same expression, Lo Zozim Misham Ad Sha'asa'um Goyim Gemurim in Yevamos. And the Gemara in Tazayin or Beis Yizayin now talks about the ten Shvatim. And the Gemara says at one point, you know, every time, why did you say every time a non-Jew is Mekadesh an isha, that it's safek kedusha because maybe it's one of the aseres hashvat. Then the Gemara counters in the end on Yitzayin and Aleph. The Gemara says, "What are you talking about? Aseres hashvatim lo zazam misham atchasam goyim gemurim." Same expression that we have here. So it's an interesting parallel. Of course, it's, you know, you had the kutim who were problematic from day one. Is that relevant to what finally happened to them? We're not sure. But then you have the aseres hashvatim who are so much part of the configuration of Kedushas Yisrael, of Klal Yisrael. And they were written out, at least temporarily, Asom Kegayim Gemur. What do we mean in both of these cases, and do we mean the same thing? You know, what do we really mean that a group or individuals, especially, these are both groups, one a group that's so intrinsic to Klal Yisrael, the other one that was problematic from day one, interesting. But in the end of the day, you can cancel people's kedushas. How is that done? Okay, so we'll talk about that next week, and then we'll move on to Mumar L'Teyavah.